And then this last time, the Lord was like, he wasn't playing. He's like, I don't need your help. Be still. I'm like, okay. And then I drop it. It's like, okay, I don't do nothing.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, yes, sir. Then when this guy came and said, oh, Dad, Mr. Skip, I was like, okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
So there's a word for somebody that's listening to this. Like, when you don't understand and you still obey what the Lord's telling you, you got to be in the hand of the God.
Mm-hmm.
He's in control. But sometimes it makes no sense. That makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Two Dudes, One God Pod. We just had a crazy, we might have to come out with like bonus material and y'all can listen to what we just talked about because it might be a little too spicy. You might have to pay like 99 cents.
Yeah, we'll do a subscription situation.
I think we might have to get on OnlyFans. It'd be like Only Prayers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you pay 99 cents and you can listen to our bonus material. Yeah. But what we've, this is crazy because literally like an hour ago, I texted Coach Rock and I was like, can you come on the podcast? And he was like, I would love to. And I was like, can you come right now? And he was like, yeah, I'll be here. And then Pat was asleep, but he woke up and came.
Yeah.
And
here I am.
Hey, if you're new here, this is what Pat looks like right when he wakes up.
Yep.
Which is also what he looks like at church, which is also what it looks like at
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Yeah. Pretty much always tired.
we don't do the lies here. We don't put makeup on. I don't do any operations or
no,
put
you
stuff.
Got some bags going
dude.
On.
Yeah. But so we had Coach Rock on before. It was one of the coolest episodes.
Yep.
And
had several people tell me like, dude, I cried during that episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very good testimony, like very moving, everything. Yeah.
And then we had on man, my mind just went totally blank. Well, look, we're having El Bombi Garcia. Robert Garcia is going to be on 3 weeks,
3 weeks
or something.
Yeah.
And we had on
Aaron Hines?
Not Aaron Hines.
Casey Parker.
Not Casey Parker. The last.
Oh,
the last
Vicente.
Vicente.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vicente was like, I listened to that Rock episode. And Vicente, I don't know if you remember Rock, but when we recorded it, the last episode with you, I told you that we had a friend of ours that had been through Freedom Weekend that was in law enforcement, and then I'd had conversations with him, and he was like, hey, more law enforcement officers need jujitsu, need judo, need these grappling techniques. And he's like, there'd be less shootings, less beatings, less tasings, you know, more control, less injury. And he was like, man, I listened to Coach Rock's episode. He said, I don't know, he was on the episode. He talked about it.
Yeah.
We talked about it even afterwards. And he was like, man, that guy's cool. And I was like, dude, I know. And then right after we recorded that episode, I talked to Travis. And he's like, Rock's moving to New Mexico. And I was like, oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
He told me that. I told him, he's like, I don't even know how you heard that.
I was like,
New Mexico. I don't know.
New Mexico.
I was like, no. He told me that.
And we've got a guy at church in our men's group that I think is like a wrestling coach at the Catholic high school or something, right?
Who?
What's his name? Oh, man, I'm messing this up. So sorry, I'm supposed to know your name. You shook my hand a couple weeks ago. But he was
How does
like,
he look like?
He kind of looks like me, less fat.
What that, a concept.
Eric.
You know, facial hair,
is
dark,
that Eric?
Dark hair.
I think it's Eric.
Yeah, it is
yes,
Eric.
It's Eric.
Okay, now look.
Oh, Eric. Eric.
He's the
Mays? No. Mm. Eric. I think I know who you're talking about.
He's the head coach in the White House.
White House. That's where he is. Okay,
Eric,
okay. But they're doing the best they can to try to get some wrestling going around here.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, great program to put somebody in that's not going to be a football star.
Eric Ware.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, bud.
Yep. Sorry, bud. He's one of my customers.
we got you. These guys know. And he was like, oh, he's doing something with Double Five. And Travis was like, I don't know. And then I caught Travis the next week, and he's like, hey, I took Houston up to talk to Coach Rock and, you know, just tell him thanks. And he said that you were like in a room with some other guys, and you told them to get out, and you told them to come in, and he said, shut the door. And like, I don't even want to mess up the story, you know, but like, it just sounds like That's all I know. Like, okay. Whatever Travis told me on that day, yeah, and then boom, all of a sudden, boom. It's like,
yeah,
this stuff's going. And, you know, you and I texted a couple of times because we were terrified. I didn't know what to do. Sebastian, yeah. Bobby loves you, you know? I mean, he's had
some serious growth, you know, going through that.
Dude, it's been life-changing. It's changed our household, the way we operate, the way he interfaces with friends, family, people at church. I mean, the world. It's been huge, way beyond his exploits in jiu-jitsu, because right now, you know, he's one for two. So,
yeah.
Professional career, you know. tell the tape, you
okay.
know. but what, tell us what's going on, man. So we've you know, the last time we had you, you came from Brazil to California to Brazil to California, and then you went from California to Tyler, and then boom, had Gracie Baja, and then you got a house, and then, and like, it was full, everything's rolling, and now it's like,
now everything has changed.
Yeah, I mean, but from what I've heard, and I'm assuming what you're going to tell me, is God was like, nope, we're doing something different.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see where we start. Let's say this. Me and my wife, when we came here, it was never the pigs. It was a purpose. It was Gracie Baja. And I'm so grateful for the time that I was there. And but there was a purpose to be fulfilled. And we were praying because we knew that the Lord would start a new season in our lives. So me and my wife, she's like one day saying, hey, we need to start praying at 3 a.m. for 7 days. She came out of the blue and said that, out of the heaven. I'll say, it's like, it was the first time we ever done this. We had done fasting, but like, wake up for a week at 3 a.m. It's like, okay, let's do this. Because we were about to take a decision, right? We knew that the guy of the manager of Gracie Baja, he's also leaving at the time. So he was going to do a offer to us to stay. And then for the last 5 years, that's what was told to us. Whenever they were leaving, we were going to have an opportunity to become, you know, the part owners and be there and, you know, have our chance as they have. So, but then we start praying at those 3 a.m. And then by the last day, we had an answer. And it was crazy because I was there for 5 years. I've met so many people and I had so much good relationships. I have love for the place, for the people, you know. So me as a natural man, I was like, I think this is it. This is where the Lord wants us to stay. Even that, like, I wanted to do things that the way God wants me to do, and there I couldn't do it, you know. But
yeah, I see then, you're a Jesus and jiu-jitsu shirt.
Yeah, you know? So I couldn't.
Because we asked you about that. Yeah. And you said, well, you know, like, if the parents are okay with it, but like, under that hierarchy, you couldn't just come out on the mat and be like, hey, you know.
And I think that's an appropriate way to approach things. Because, like, obviously, we want to be the voice crying in the wilderness, telling people about Jesus and everything. Everybody hears everything. But, you know, when you're dealing with relationships, you kind of have to manage. Like, you can't just be like, hey, by the way, I told your son the gospel today. And now he's going to be start coming to church with me. I get that you guys don't believe him, but, like, you know, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we've definitely had some, like, Bobby's friends spend the night and, like, I don't feel like maybe they go to church. I never asked.
Right.
But, like, they spent the night on a Saturday night and they were at church with us on Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah.
It feels a little sketchy, but, like, you know.
But that's the navigating the relationship.
Fed them donuts and let them have fun. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like we didn't like drag them down to a river and go, about to baptize
you now, boy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could have.
Yeah, definitely could have, but probably wouldn't be coming back again.
Yeah, but I think it's important. Rock is exceptionally gifted at developing a relationship, at connecting with people, not just children, because, you know, you could have a kid that Bobby loves you. He loves coming training with you. He respects you. He looks at you in a way that he doesn't look at me or his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we also love and respect you.
Right. So we're good
if we didn't like you.
Yeah.
Then maybe Bobby just likes you. Yeah. And like the money comes from the grown ups, you know? Right. So like, there's a lot of, I ran into that in my life. There were people that I wanted to spend time with, but my parents didn't make an effort with it for whatever reason. They were probably right, you know, and then I just, that was the end of my communication with those people.
Yeah.
You know, so you've made these bonds with people. You spent 5 years and, you know, humble, you know, just serving with a servant's heart at Gracie Baja. And so y'all prayed, y'all woke up every day for 7 days at 3 a.m.
At 3 a.m.
And prayed.
Yeah. And then on the 6th day, then we had the answer. It was Monday, 3 a.m. And then God spoke to our heart and we had the answer there. And I was full of emotions because the answer wasn't what I was expecting.
Right.
You know, because I was like, yeah, we're staying. Yeah, this is it. You know, and then the Lord said, no, your time is over. Your season is over. And I was like, man, you know, and then I was like, okay. So I didn't ask anything. But at the other hand, too, I was like, I was happy because, okay, that does that mean that I got to do my own thing? I had full of emotions, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So then I got the answer. And then there's Monday and then there's Tuesday. On that Tuesday, we were having the meeting with the guys from Gracie Baja, you know. And so on the meeting, the Lord was clear. He's like, I don't want you to listen to the offer. If it's 10,000 or two, you're not staying. So don't let him offer you. I was like, okay. So we talked to my wife, and then we came to the meeting, and then, you know, and then I started the way, you know, because one of the reasons the Lord revealed to me 2 years ago that one of the reasons that I stayed there is because of the people, because of connections and blessing people and being blessed too. And but then it was also for this guy. He was a missionary a couple of years ago, and he left church hurt.
Yep.
So, and then the Lord wants me to pour into his life, you know. And the way I started talking to him, I was like, hey, man, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and then my time to sow seeds on your life is over. You know, and I hope that you really got those seeds and grow and got to go back to a relationship with the Lord. It's not about church. It's about you and God and in your relationship with the God. And it was crazy because then he started crying. And then I started crying and his wife started crying. And we end up like hugging each other.
Bro, I'm about to start crying right now.
Man, it was crazy. You know? Because I was ready to say stuff that I wanted to say, but then when I start opening up my mouth, and then the Holy Spirit took over and then saying all that, because I was going to tell, hey, man, you know, the Lord told me to, you know, be done, but that's not what I said.
Yeah.
So then we start, like, having this moment, and then he understand that, and then, but his wife, like, she want to talk about the offer and the money, and then, and he's like, no, you don't understand what he said. He said that this is a goodbye. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what? Yeah, it's a goodbye. He's like, yeah. So we're, you know, our time here is over. And then
this is with the former manager.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Him and his wife, we sat together. It was me, my wife too. It was four of us. You know, the gym was closed. And we got to have this talk. And then the Holy Spirit took over. And then from there, he's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know, man. You know, to be honest, I was surprised because I thought that I was going to stay here. And the Lord just told me that. And then, you know, because I've told him before about this mission, about, hey, man, the Lord is waiting for you. It was not the first time, not the second, not the third. He knew I was sitting there for him to see a closer relationship with God. So
you think that part of the reason that you ended up at Gracie Baja,
yes sir,
was to witness,
yes sir,
to the guy that was effectively your boss,
yes sir, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the reasons was that.
Did it
for him to reconnect?
Did that take good? Did that go good?
So till then, yeah, it went good. You know,
until you were telling him, hey,
yes. Well, until this point, it was perfect.
Okay.
You know, we got to hug each other, and we got to, you know, we had moments. I've told him stuff. He saw the way I do stuff, and he saw the way things were going. But then when I told him that, you know, he was, you know, we were in emotion. We hugged each other. Hey, man, I love you. I learned so much with you. And then I told him the same thing. I learned so much stuff from him, too. Mm-hmm. But then that was Tuesday. Let's go on the weekday, right? That was Tuesday. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to give you my 30 days. And I know you're moving too, because he was in the process of moving out of, mm-hmm, to Dallas. says, I don't want to leave you hanging. I don't want to leave you shorthand. So I'll be here for 30 days. And
warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Helping you until you find a black belt, because that's not a big problem, but at the least, I don't want to just, hey, I'm going.
Yeah,
but, right.
Yeah,
I want to give him the right time.
You did the right thing. Yeah.
So cool. And then Wednesday, I start talking to the staff, to my coaches, you know, Joaquin and everybody. Everybody was just like, what happened? No, I was even like, man, this is no. So I talked to some people Wednesday and Thursday. When comes Thursday, on that Thursday, everything started like becoming hard because, you know, then I sat to talk in front of the kids. I thought it was going to be easy, man.
Yeah.
For real, like, that was like, I got my throat closed, you know. I start saying, and then I was like, man. You know, and then I start crying. And then some of the little kids came and jumped on me, man. You know, I was like, man.
It just like, brought, they attack you? They just the weakness? Could they smell the fear?
And then when they hugged me, I was like, okay, I can. Yeah. It'll be easy to say it. So I told them that my time was over. And I even read to them, like, hey, I read Ecclesiastics and say that there's time for everything. And I tried to explain that to them. So anyway, then on that Thursday, I told the parents, the kids, and I told the adults. It was hard, man. It was like, I was like, wow. But at the same time, I felt that relief that I was doing what God wants me to do. Mm. So then everybody was like, where are you going? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know where am I going. So I don't know what I'm going to do. So then people, are you going back to California? Are you going back to Brazil? It's like, no, I don't know. No, I just don't know. But then that Thursday was over. And then Friday morning, the guy from Gracie Baja, like, hey, man, you know, you might be doing this under emotion or something, but I just want you to know if you want to go back, if you want to stay, I can make things happen, you know, and you're more than welcome to stay. And then, again, it wasn't me. The Holy Spirit pop out my mouth like, hey, you know, I'm grateful for you to think in me and my family, but the Lord is the Lord of yes, yes, and no, no. And he told me that my time is over, and I'm grateful. Thank you for offering. Thank you for thinking in me, but we're gone. We're just, but well, we're going to be without money. You're going to be without work. And then on that process, we were like, okay, let's talk to my father-in-law and sell the house because, you know, we couldn't. I didn't know how I was going to pay for my bills in July. So bottom line, like, okay, Lord, I'm done, but how about the bills? Yeah. I have no clue, right? In summer, everybody going away, like the privates go low because everybody's in vacation. But anyway, then on that Friday, I told my wife, I said, hey, babe, I need to go train. So, and then I left to Dallas to go train at 555 Highland Village. So I got there, you know, and then I went to Pojada, man. It was good, you know. I got my butt whooped, had some amazing time. And then after done, I talked to Professor Formiga. He's like, hey, Professor, I just want to let you know I gave 30 days of Gracie Baja. And he's like, his eyes like were this big. He's like, what are you going to do, Rock? I was like, I don't know. You know, again, I had to say I don't know so many times because I actually did not know, right? And then I talked to him, and then he's like, hey, man, I don't know if I had the courage to do this. You know, because let's say this, back in time, I started training with him in January. Mm-hmm. He opened up his doors for me, like, in a way that I was embarrassed. Like, guy's so humble, the guy's so nice, and, you know, guy's 14 times world champion and 13 times Pan Am champion. So he's a legend in jiu-jitsu, wow. Right? So, but if you go to his gym, you think that he's nobody. Yeah. The way he's humble. I was like, what is that? He walked off the mat, shook my hand, shook my wife's hand, and my kids. I was like, okay, something's different here. So anyway, he opened his doors and invited me to train and on that day. But there was a little bit of misunderstanding because in April, I couldn't make it because my daughter's birthday and we were away in California. Mm-hmm. So on that time that we were not coming, the guy from Gracie Baja Tyler, Tosha, I'll call him Tosha, he was, I knew that he was going to open a gym somewhere in Dallas. You know, that's what he told me. So then he opened the gym, he posted, and we were in California. And then the gym is like, oh, yeah, it's Gracie Baja Highland Village. Cool, nothing big. But then when I came back from California, I had a meeting with the guy from Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu. I was trying to have this meeting for a year, and I finally had with Isaac. So we were having...
Where's he at?
He's in 55 Highland Village. He's
really?
Yes, he's there. So he's, when I went, I was like, dude,
shut up.
I'm trying to find this guy for a lifetime, and he's here. You know, I was like, okay, I see what you're doing, Lord. But then we got to have a meeting with this guy.
To put things in perspective, if you're not familiar with the geography here, Highland Village is a couple hours from us.
Yes.
Which in Texas is impressive. That's really close.
Yeah.
It's like we might go there to have a sandwich.
Exactly. Yeah. And then drive right back.
Yeah.
You know, have a drink on the way back.
If you're in California or New York and you don't understand that, This is Metroplex, DFW area, but it's only a couple hours from us.
Yeah, two hours from my house is 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I came back from California. I was like, man, I need to go back to train. And I had a meeting with Isaac on the phone, and he's saying, hey, Rock, you need to talk to Professor Formiga. He's a little upset with you. I was like, upset with me? He's like, what happened, man? Hey, man, you know that your Gracie Baja is open down the road from here, right? I was like, what? And then, so anyway, end up that he's opening up the Gracie Baja Dallas. It's in Highland Village, like 5 minutes down the road from Professor Formiga, which causes a lot of, you know,
confusion.
And then I was misunderstood as I've been sending over there to watch the place and watch the area. Mm-hmm. They thought that I was sent by Tasha. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, there was this misunderstanding, but I called him right away. I explained myself, and he was so happy that I was able to call and talk to him, and my wife talked to his wife. We actually meet in person at the Jesus and Jiu-Jitsu that Marcos Buchecha came, and that was some point in May or June, something like that. It was June, I think. So anyway, so we explained ourselves to him, but again, I'm new, you know, in there, so it's kind of like, is this guy telling me the truth? Is this guy just, you know? And I told him, hey man, I have nothing to do with this. I didn't know, you know. But again, then come back into the Friday that I sat and talked with him. He's like, I gave Gracie Baja 30 days. He was like, I could see in his eyes that, like, oh, this guy was not lying to me.
Yeah.
So, and then he's like, hey man, I don't have money to help you financially, but I have contacts. People call me every month to, hey, do you have a black belt that I can trust? I was like, yeah, people call me. I was like, I'm going to help you. Come with your family. I know it's a little bit far, but come and train here. Be here with me. Become my student. I was like, dude, this guy's invited me to be his student. I was like, okay, you know. So I felt so honored. And then that's what, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. So then I start talking to him, and it's like, you didn't have to do this to prove nothing to me. You know, because he thought that I gave 30 days because of the misunderstanding. I was like, no, man, it's not this. You know, we've been there for 5 years. We've been praying for 5 years, and we were just waiting for what's the next of God. So, and God told us to leave. So anyway, he invited me, and then everything happened. So go detail by detail. If my wife was here, she would have been elbowing me like, hey, stop saying so much details.
Yeah.
But then I felt so honored to be invited to train with him. But I was like, man, you know, I train. And he's like, come and be my student. He's like, okay. And then he mentioned that one of his black belts, it's leaving from a gym that he knows, and then he could have like, hey, I can put you there, but that's in Dallas. So I was like, oh man, you know, I feel like, okay, I see a light in the end of the tunnel. I have a job to provide to my family, but at the same time, I was like, I don't feel that my mission is done in Tyler. I was happy, but not happy. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that's the first thing that came out to me on Friday. So then I was like happy, you know, I was like, man, I have a job already. You know, I just gave 30 days a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but, and then before I left Dallas, I just got curious. And then I went to down the road, I put it on the GPS time. It's like, hey, let me see, where's that Gracie Baja? And it's literally like GPS time, 5 minutes on the same road, down the road, like on the same road. And then I was like, oh man, okay. So anyway, man, and then I came back, I drive back home, and then there's more details, but maybe we'll talk about the details later. Yeah. About everything, because otherwise, you know. Anyway, so then I was driving back home, and then I opened my phone, and then there saw a text. Hey, Professor Rock, we're so sad that you're leaving. We've been praying for you, and I have my father-in-law. He has a building, and maybe there's a place that you can give some privates until you know what you're going to do. I was like, oh, cool. Because it was like, the only thing I can make money now is doing privates. And, you know, as soon as I'm out of there, I had 30 days at there. I could do privates there. But as soon as I'm out of there, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
So then, okay, I was like, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Of course, I can talk to your father-in-law and it'll be great. You know, I'll have a place to do privates. But then Friday night, he's like, hey, can you meet us tomorrow morning? And that was a Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. So back on time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So can you meet Saturday 9:30 at the building? I'm like, sure. Then, man, me and my wife, we went there, and it was all of us, Rachel, Ethan, our kids, and we come into the building, and there's that feeling. Okay. So then we come in, you know, and it was just amazing, you know. And I was like, oh, well, it might be one of these little rooms here, yeah, to do a private, right? And then they came in, you know, and we talked, sat on the table. I got to meet the man, you know, Mr. Skip. So we've talked. He showed me the layout of the building and everything. And he was talking, how did he get that building? He got that building maybe 2 years ago, and he didn't know what to do with the building, and he rebuilt the building nobody ever used. He rejected so many people trying to rent the building because he didn't want people in there. So he used the building to put his bikes, his cars, his garage, because he owns a building right on the side. So anyway, he was talking all that, you know, and I was just like, I don't know, I just had the feeling, you know. And then I felt my throat closing again. And all of a sudden, man, this man that I just met in front of me, he starts saying that, hey, Brock, I don't know what you mean, but I'm going to help you. And I'm going to help you build your gym. And I'm going to give you this building and help you build your gym. And I didn't know what he meant by that, man. It's just,
you give know. Me a gym.
Yeah. And I
what's
was
that mean?
What does that mean? And I was like, and then I started crying already, you know, because I knew that the provision would have come. I knew that, but I did not know how. So then I started crying. Then my wife has to step in to talk to the guy, and but then once I was a little bit, you know, okay,
calm down.
I can't hear you now. he's like, yes, I'm going to give you this building for, you know, a certain time without rent. You're not going to pay. I'm going to help you to build your gym. I was like, okay. I thought it would be a conversation about having a room for privates. Mm. All of a sudden,
not a whole building.
Boom. So then, man. And then while we were talking, he was telling things that happened. How did he get that? And when did he get that? And I was like, okay. On that day, he showed us around again, and he showed us his building on the side. I couldn't talk so much because I was like, I was overwhelmed. And on that very day, on that Saturday morning, he gave us the key of the building. Mm. He's like, here you go. Here's the key. I couldn't even take the key. So my wife took the key because all I could do is just cry.
Yeah.
You know, it was him and his son-in-law, Matt, one of my students. And anyway, man, it's just, you know, it happened like this. You know, he gave us the key on that very Saturday. And we couldn't understand, like, what was going on. And then he left for a couple of minutes. He's like, hey, I'm going to leave you guys here to see. And as soon as he left, man, I ran into the middle of the building. I put my mouth on the floor, and I just started crying, yeah. You know, because I couldn't do nothing but that. So I pour out that place, and it was like this, you know. Then that was Saturday. We were there. We were crying, and we put some worship and thanking the Lord. And then Sunday came by, and then he's like, Rock, can we meet again? I was like, sure. So we meet again on Monday. I was like, man, I don't want to cry again. So we went over there, and then we had the key ready.
It's like, you want it back?
I was like, oh, man. So we sat and talked again, and he's like, Rock, what's the name of your gym? I was like, I don't know. I didn't have that name for it yet. I was just like, you know, I was grateful. I knew it was going to.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Come, but I didn't know it was going to come like this fast. And then, but then we were talking, and he needs this. Oh, I need this for the lease. I need that. I need the name. I was like, okay, I guess I got to go to work, right? Mm-hmm. So then before we left again, he's like, Rock, I don't know what your financial situation, but I feel in my heart that I'm going to buy the mats for the gym. And then I start crying again.
That's like one of the most expensive things.
I would believe that. Most of the gyms, the only thing they have is the mats.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, man, you know, it's just, okay, God, because the place is nice. It's beautiful. It's new. But it's huge. Mm-hmm. Like I was not even thinking that, but now I think like, okay, you gave me that building. How am I supposed to put a mat here?
Right.
You know, because you know the last 5 years financially for us it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do nothing, man. The bottom line is I couldn't do anything. You know, my mind is like when the first notice that the Lord told me no, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe now I'll go to I found a place in North Tyler, a little warehouse, and then mm-hmm. I rent that place, and, and I started a gym there. You know, I started my own thing. That's what I thought, you know. Yeah. I go to North Tyler. Nobody wants to go to North Tyler. And then I go there, and then we'll see, you know. But then this guy tells me to do, he gave me the key, and then next day, he's like, here. I'll buy the mats and then you pay me down the road. I was like, what? You know, yeah. So he told me to get some estimates. I got 3 estimates. The cheapest one was $21,000 to put it on the floor, mm-hmm. 2 inches match. I was like, oh, okay. So then I gave it to him and he's like, hey, let's talk. Okay. So he called me into the building. He's like, how's the building? The building is awesome. So if the building is awesome, everything here is awesome, I don't want nothing cheap here. Get the best mat.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he gets it.
He even mentioned that, like, the building is awesome. He didn't say that. He asked me, Rock, what do you see? What do you think about the building? I was like, oh, it's awesome. So, and then he's like, well, yeah, but the black belt is awesome. I was like, and I was looking around. Oh, it's me. I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, I don't need nothing cheap here. So give me the best mat. I was like, okay. So then I got the best mat, floor spring system, everything nice, and I gave it to him, thinking that, oh, maybe it's gonna be too expensive. And
it was like $40,000.
Yeah, it was 35.
Yeah. That's like 40.
Yeah. You may as well be
in 40. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother, so, it looked nice. I saw some videos of y'all putting it up. Yeah. I was like, that looks like that's going to be really sturdy and more comfortable than the other mats I've seen.
Hey, it's just like, you know, and then he just, okay, pay. Like, oh, man. So, you know, and then that's the part that I said, okay, all right. I see you, Lord. I see everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
But then here comes something in my mind, right? So let's go talk about this right now. The building. Where's the building at? This place. It's 5 minutes down from GB, the place I used to work.
Yeah.
So then I start, Lord, Tyler, it's huge. It's big. So why that building has to be over there? Like, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, it could have been closer to my house.
Yeah, absolutely. if you'd have parked in next door or something, I probably would have started taking class from you.
That's what I'm saying, you know, because I was like, man, you know, and then I start questioning what the Lord has done because I didn't want it. No, I didn't. I was telling, if it was me, I was not going to do over there. Mm-hmm. But then the Lord told me to shush. It's like, you did nothing. You could do nothing. So
yeah, he did it.
Yes.
You know what you are? You're a donkey.
Yeah. Here we go. I'm a donkey. Then the donkey, shush, don't talk. Yep. So then that time I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to say that anymore. I'm not even going to feel bad anymore because I knew and everybody knew around me that I could not do that. So who's doing that? That's the Lord Almighty, the Most High God. I couldn't do that. Now, who in the world is going to give you a building on the first day that this person met you and is going to buy a mat for you and is going to, here's the key on the first day you met him? So I was like, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not even going to say that anymore.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's just like, you know, it was wrong what I did. And some people are like, oh, yeah, he did this on purpose and he did that. You know, at the end of the day, the Lord knows what happened. He was the one who made it happen. So I'm not worrying about it. I don't feel that I was wrong anymore.
Right. And, you know. And at the end of the day, like your heart of hearts, whenever you're like trying to navigate this situation in the very beginning, after y'all were getting up and praying at 3 a.m.
Yes, sir.
Everything, right? Whenever you had the situation where they probably would have hooked you up. You know what I mean? Like they would have looked after you and been like, do this, you know, don't do the 30 days. Like we can work something out. But your heart of hearts, God was telling you.
Yeah.
Like you know the voice of the potter.
Yes.
You're the clay. Like he's the potter, we're the clay.
Yes, sir.
And whenever, you know, you're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I could probably make some money that way. I could probably do this. I could probably do that and make it work. But the reality is you wouldn't have had the same confirmation and conversation that you would have had with that gentleman who gave you the building.
Yes.
Because like, I imagine whenever like people would be like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? There was a red light. There was red light, a spiritual red light that makes you say, listen, I appreciate the offer. I appreciate the opportunity that y'all are trying to do. But then that green light comes on. You're like,
well, it's like you said, God told me don't even listen to the offer.
Exactly.
So recurring theme in your life, Rock, obedience. Is you're just so willing to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't question God.
No.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want, it's my time's over. Okay. Yeah. Don't listen to the offer. No problem.
Yep.
Be gracious, be humble, got it. And then the blessing on the flip side, and then you're so humble, you even go, wait a minute, the optics of this are bad because they put a a Gracie Baja right down the street from Double Five, and now I'm starting to dream right down the street from Gracie Baja. And then you get the answer, hey, you didn't do it.
Right.
Which is like, I always like that, you know, God, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not
like,
about
I'm
you.
I'm trying to be humble. I think I'm humble, and I still, in my humility, can come with some pride and ego.
Yeah.
And God's like, nah, shut up.
Yeah.
I love that. Get off your high horse. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, but like, what a crazy story arc.
It is, man. It is crazy.
Because, you know, we didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't know, you know, that you had traveled, that they were opening another, like, you know, most people, probably a couple people.
No, yeah. But it's like very few people know this, you know, when you invite, right now. When you invite me to a day, man, I was like, I can't believe this dude is calling me to go there.
I was with you, dude. I was not expecting to record today. I was like, okay, well, we're not recording. Yeah. I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah. My wife, baby, please don't get at home midnight again. You know, because they're like, we need to get the gym ready. I was like, okay, I promise I won't be midnight. But I feel like this is, you know, this is something that, you know, that the Lord wants to happen today before tomorrow, because tomorrow is the South to open. So I was like, man, I think, you know, this is something that it's just the Lord is telling me to come and do it, you know, and you invite me. I was like, I was going to tell you, hey, man, can we talk? And then guy invited me. I was like, okay, man, it's just crazy, you know.
Dude, I wanted to talk to you because we texted a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, are you moving somewhere else?
Yeah.
And you're like, you won't believe all these things. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, try me, bud. Believe it. Because similar in my life, you know, multiple times, and I'm a little more hard-headed than you. I don't think that I listen as good to God, you know, but like, you know, the last several years of my life have been pretty wild, and I've talked about it a little bit on here, but you know, like I definitely, like I've been in prayer heavy the last 6 months or so. God, what do you want me to do? Hmm. You know, you want me to be a janitor somewhere? I'll do that. You want me to sell insurance? I'll do that. And it's weird because my brother moved home from Colorado. He's been gone for a long time, and he got a job selling cars at the Kia store. And then I was like, God, you want me to sell cars? And then, you know, I went up, had an interview there. They didn't even ask me any questions. They're like, when can you start? And so I'm selling cars at the Chevy store.
Okay.
It's just as, you know, I said, whatever. But then my second week selling cars, you know, I sold 5 cars or something pretty quick. And I get a phone call, and it's Jeff Butler. He's like, I got a buddy that needs $500,000 of life insurance as soon as possible. I'm like, you can't be making this stuff up, you know? Right. And so, and then this month started, you know, we've had Friday and Saturday, first and the second. I sold a car on Friday. I sold a car on Saturday. My brother sold a car on Friday. He sold a car on Saturday. I was like, well, we'll see who sells the most cars this month.
That's
good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I've gotten to interface and meet with people. And I think that's the problem. Like insurance, people were resistant to it, even though it helps them. They need it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You know, but I'm just sitting in the house by myself with my dogs, which is a nice thing to do if you're not at work. But when you're working, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Well, like I've gotten to meet so many people and like super, you know, there's a family that I worked with on Friday that clearly has some turmoil going on, you know, and I got to help them and, you know, like they needed a car, you know, I got to be there for that. And then this super wonderful lady got a new Tahoe yesterday from me. But like I met her 7 or 8 days ago, and she was like, she was telling me, you know, she was like a lifetime educator, and she sang opera. She just had this great, and we start talking about the Methodist Church and how Marvin left the UMC because of all the stuff. I guess I'm getting that right. But anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've just gotten to like care for people and love on people in a different way, knee to knee, face to face, not on the phone, not on a FaceTime Zoom call or whatever. And so like, I was always jealous because I get to see you do that. And you know, like, that's like, I went to college to help people, you know, I wanted to be a counselor. Right. Which is a funny thing to want to be, because that means you get to listen to people's problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
right? And you can't fix them all. And like the guy we had, I don't know if you heard any of the other episodes, but we had a guy, Trent, on last time that we had an episode out. Mm. And he said something to the effect of like, you can't save your children from their testimony. The problem is that they might not ever be able to share it with somebody.
Yeah.
You got to let them fail.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, God, I learned from you. I see you do it with so much faith and like almost no fear. It looks like you're just comfortable. Just, okay, yeah, I'll just quit my job. I'll just move across the country. I'll move across the universe, you know.
Yeah.
I'll move from wherever, you know. You're just like, I'll do it. And I want to have that same willingness. And I'm trying to do it in this area too, you know. Not just in my marriage or just in my household or what kind of vehicle I drive or what kind of dogs I have or how I am with my children. But I'm trying to do it in all areas, you know. And I think it's easy for us to focus on, I'm going to be this way at church, or this is what I'm going to do with my kids, or this is how I'm going to interface with my wife. But there's always that one thing that we seem to pull back.
Yeah.
You know, but like that one thing for you is all of the things, you know, like what you do isn't who you are. Like you could be a karate instructor, a car detailer, like whatever you're going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be the fruit that you give out. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get relationships. You're going to get trust. You're going to get respect because you're deserving of it, you know? And I think you get that because you submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say, okay, God,
and
I'll get up
and you've got to
pray, you know?
Like, yeah. And you've got a unified front. You know what I mean? Like yes, you have, dude, your wife.
Your wife is in
your
corner.
You have your family that's in your corner. That is a huge blessing for you.
And I've had some talks with her and she was just like I've heard some of her side of things.
Yeah.
You know? Like just waiting around at jiu-jitsu class, you know?
Yeah.
And like you got a powerful woman.
Yeah, man. It's been like people think that, you know, when they see a black belt, they think, oh, this guy is awesome. But the bottom line is, if it wasn't for my wife, I was not even gonna be a black belt. Mm. See, because when I start this, it was good. I just enjoy it, you know. When I just enjoy it to train.
Yeah.
But I didn't see nothing in this that's like, oh, I just enjoy it so much. And then when I moved here and then I met my wife, I was still a white belt. And then hey, let's go train. I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, I was a white belt. She never stepped on the mat before. And I remember one of those days that I brought her to the mat, I was a white belt. She was a white belt. And then she told me something that I will never forget. She's like, babe, when I saw you, I didn't know what jiu-jitsu was, but I just saw that you were doing that with your whole heart. And I, the Lord told me that would have walked with you forever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, back then, I was like, okay, maybe just cool, right? But today I understand. You know, today I understand what God revealed to her our ministry.
Yeah.
You know, because, and then we got a blue belt, and then so many times, you know, I don't say this because I have bad feelings, because I'm clear with my mom, but I would have come to my mom's house with my family to have dinner, and my mom like, you know, we would have just walked out of the gym and go there, have dinner with her. She's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, why you stop working to go do this jiu-jitsu thing that you stop working and you're going there? Like, you stop making money, you have family, you have to provide to your family. Why are you doing this? You're wasting your time. And then for so many times, I was like, she's right. You know,
this is crazy.
I mean, yeah, like she's right.
She has a point.
She has a point. Like, it's like, okay, man, we start when we met, I was broke, broken heart, broken money, broke everything. I was in pieces, right? Broke spirit. So then when we met, it's like, oh, let's do this. We loved each other's company so much. That's like, okay, let's do something together. What we can do together to work? Oh, let's clean houses. It's like, oh, okay, let's go. We started with one client. We end up having 80.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. We had no Facebook, no nothing. Word of mouth. So then we build our schedule like this, you know, and then all of a sudden, my mom like, hey, you need to stop doing this. Like, oh, okay. So then I would have come to my wife. Hey, babe, I think my mom was right. You know, why am I stopping making money to go there to teach? Not teach, because the place I came from, the coaches The coaches don't open up their mouths. So if you're blue, purple, brown, your coach, the only one who speaks is the professor, the black belt. That's it. So I was there for years just like watching, you know, and pulling the kids like, hey, go around. Go listen to professor. Hey, go. That's all I did. I was watching, right? So then so many times I came to my wife like, babe, I think my mom's right. She's like, no, don't listen to her. That's your call. Go back. Baby, I have to stop work. I don't care. Go do your thing. So I was just like, she had no idea that what's happening today, but she believed it first. She saw it first. She believed it first. Like my own mom telling me to stop working, to stop doing this and go back to work, would make the whole sense. Mm-hmm. But my wife, no, you're not doing that. So many times, like, why am I doing this? Why am I, you know, stopping making money and doing this? But then later on, it was everything worth it. You know, everything. It was just like so many times my wife would go to a tournament with me and we have Rachel, baby Rachel. Like, man, there's this day I never forgot. I fought 11 times. And this day it was like all day long. And she was there with 1 year baby from, you know, 9 a.m. to 4 or 5 p.m. And the baby, you know, it's like, man, you know, this is just, this is, if that's not support, I don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it was since day one. She saw it first. She believed it first. And then, you know, it's just like, man, you know, that's what the importance, you know, like our logo now, it's an eagle landing on a nest with three baby eagles on top of the rock. So people are like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, it is cool. But what it means, this is what is important. So it we stand for family. There's a meaning, you know, the mama ego landing on the rock, on the nest to feed the kids, to feed the babies. And the nest, the house, right? And the rock is the dad, the provider, the protector, you know, the one who's going to be the safe place for the family. Mm-hmm. And this is what we stand for. And that's our logo. You know, it's not a cool logo. You know, it's, I never seen it in no place. I made a drawing and I asked a friend to make it. And I was like, this is so cool, you know, but this is what it is since day one. She believed it first. I couldn't make it. I tell you, I'm not trying to, you know, say this to my wife to like feel good. It's just the bottom line. You know, I could not make it, you know, even go find Professor Formiga last year. She's like, hey, I think it's time for you to go back to compete. I think it's time. When we go back to Dallas, we're on the way back from California around November. She's like, you need to go find a place for you to train, and you're going to go back to compete. And I was like, what? And like, I thought we were done with this. No, I was just competing to motivate my students and show them that we can do it. But she's like, no, it's time for you to go back. I was like, okay. So that's how we end up finding Professor Formiga, because she sees us first. I was like, oh. This is just crazy, you know.
Well, what's going on with that? Are you now going to be an extension, like hierarchically, you're under Professor Formiga?
Yes, I'll be under him. You know, on that day he invited me to be his students, so now I'm underneath on IBJJF. I'm his student. I'm his black belt, and I'm affiliation of Double Five. So we're gonna have here Double Five Jiu-Jitsu Tyler, and we also have our flag, which is Rock Oliveira, and with the logo. Our dream was to be let's say this. Our dream back there was to have Eagle Rock Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Eagle would have been meaning my wife and rock me, you know. Yeah. But then there's somebody took that name in California. So I was like, man, you know.
It's always the California.
Yeah.
Ruin everything.
Hey, but, you know, man. And we had another one, Redemption Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. And then somebody here in Texas took it. It's like, okay, so what's next? Mm-hmm. And then the logo, nobody took it. I was like, oh, because I created it. I was like, oh, man, that's cool. And I was like, what do we do here, baby? She's like, well, put rock and put our last name. Will be our family. And the logo was like, oh, cool. So, and then Rock Oliveira, that's going to be our flag right by Double Five Jiu-Jitsu Tyler. You know, it's just crazy, man. You know, since we're talking about that, I have to share why Double Five, what Double Five means
me. I was kind of thinking about that myself.
Yeah. So Double Five is a Professor Formiga is the founder of Double Five. You know, I'm going to let y'all curious about what Double Five means to y'all, I'm going to share what double five means to me.
Okay.
Okay. So if y'all want to know what double five is, go Google it. You're going to know, right? Okay.
55.
Yeah, exactly. What's the number?
55.
55? Okay. I believe you guys are smart people here, right? 10? So watch this. Remember when I talked to Professor Formiga and I told him that I gave 30 days? Mm-hmm. So I told you guys here that I put it on the GPS. And what's the GPS time?
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
Cool. But then here, when I went to see the building, what is the
GPS? 5 minutes. I'm already there.
So what's the name of the gym? 55. Double five.
Double five. Oh, double five. Double, not 55. It's double five.
Double five.
Whoa.
So look something. Double five. What the five means? Grace. Oh. Double grace.
Oh.
So I have done nothing. I have moving a finger to make this happen. So this is just, you know, when I understand what God was trying to do, God spoke to my heart. Look, this is the end of a season of Gracie Baja. And this is the beginning of a new season. How did I know that? Because I was not trying to do nothing with nobody. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be by myself.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Lord, you're going to tell me what to do, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. But then when I left that day for Miga to go to Gracie Baja, my daughter Rachel has a prophetic gift of drawing and speaking words from the Spirit. She was drawing stuff to me on a sticky note, and I was putting over there because my head was like, how am I supposed to provide to my family? Mm-hmm. I was not paying attention to her. Mm. So when I got to the Gracie Baja Highland Village just to see it, and I was just like, I just want to see it. Where is it? So I step out of the truck, and this little sticky note fall, and okay, whatever. And then I closed the door, and I was walking towards the door, and I see that one of the sticky notes. Yeah. This dude, you were there. were you there? Man, okay.
Prophet so, Pat.
So then I was a little bit hard-headed. I was trying to step. Get out of my shoe. It wouldn't come out. And then the Lord said, pick it up and see it. And I was like, okay. So I pick it up and see it, and I open up. I'm going to show it to you guys in a second. But there's a draw of my daughter. When I saw that, I wanted to cry, and I felt like a kick of a horse mm-hmm. on my chest.
Or a donkey.
A donkey. Donkey! The donkey kicked hard.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, this is the end. I was in front of Gracie Baja Highland Village. The Lord said, this is the end of a season, and this is the beginning of the season. So now it cannot be late. It has to be now, because I gotta show you.
Yeah, now I'm chomping at the bit to see.
Yeah, what she draw. So what did she draw? I showed to some close friends. I showed it to my wife. My wife couldn't get it. Sometimes she sees stuff in the spirit, but sometimes, you know, she's like, oh, okay. But what my daughter draw, it was on the way to. So now you tell me, don't judge. What do you see? What do you see in that draw?
I see an atom, I could be wrong. Like a universe thing.
Okay. Okay. See, everyone says something different, you know.
What about you, Trey?
Man, when I saw that, I just wanted to cry. Because it was like so deep in my heart, and the Holy Spirit was whispering on my ear.
Definitely.
I was just, man, this is crazy. And I accepted right there, but I had no clue.
Yeah,
of nothing, you know. Yeah. I was just so honored because, you know, a couple minutes ago, this guy invited me to be his student.
Right.
But when you see that, nothing, right?
What do you see?
Well, what do I see? Well, now I'm going to show you the next picture.
Oh.
And then you're going to see it. See, what do you see, Trey? Can't even say nothing, huh?
Man, you know, maybe it's two people or two places with like energy in the middle.
Oh, look maybe. At this guy, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Two people, two places, huh? Okay. Look at this guy. So now, I told you that.
Wait a minute. That's a rock. Huh? But I'm seeing a rock in that now.
Hey, look at this guy. So look, okay, this is a good one. Yeah. So you can zoom when you take the picture, and then and see and tell me what you see now.
Oh, it's a shield. No, what is that? What is that?
Does that look familiar? This black thing that you're seeing in there.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
I mean, I'm seeing the two points at yes. the top of the thing, yeah. and then the center of the.
Does that look any? Does that look anything close to the drawing of my daughter?
Oh, I'm seeing. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay, so this is an existing
yes.
academy.
Yes,
and your daughter drew that.
Look at the name of the academy.
Yeah, Rafael Formiga.
Oh. Now you see the kick of the donkey, huh?
Yeah.
Look at this, man.
Just get out of yep. the way.
Yep.
Man, it's just like.
That's Rafael Formiga's logo that she yes. drew before you even
yes.
saw the thing.
Man, and then with the Lord's head, this is the beginning of a new season. Then he's like, pick it up and I open up.
Yeah.
Bro, I just wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Like, because like 20 minutes ago, he's like, come and be my student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like 20 minutes later.
And then this is the end. The new season.
The new season.
Yeah, because yeah, he could have said, hey, I'm glad you're here. You know, we'll see you another time.
Yeah, yeah,
but
that's
he
it.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
It was more like an adoption.
Yeah.
Understand, right?
Yes.
Am I getting this correct?
Yes, because, yes.
Because you in martial right. arts in general,
yeah,
you always have to have a hierarchy, a legacy, yeah. some kind of, some. Who do you look to? What yeah. school are you yeah. from?
Who you're learning from?
This is important.
Yeah.
This is like Mr. Miyagi, you know? This guy was like Danielson.
Yeah.
You know,
mine. Yeah,
paint the fence,
yeah,
and exactly. he was like, yes, sir, you know,
yes, sir, yeah,
right there. It's like adopting somebody,
yeah.
He's like, hey, you can, I would be happy for you to be my student,
yeah.
And so, it's not like probably people that haven't had experiences in this, they would think, like, well, of course, he wants you as a student, then you have to pay him, you yeah. know, but that's not
the way
that's not
goes.
The point.
No,
the yeah. point is like, you being his student represent his whole
philosophy, everything.
By the way, he never charged me. He said, no, you're not paying here. You're welcome in here.
What?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so he's like, no, man, you're just welcome in here. He's like, okay. You and your whole family. He's like, it's like, man, you know. And then all this happened, and I knew that there was Friday. And then Saturday, the building, the key. And then I had to call him. He's like, hey. You know, I have something to tell you, Professor. It's mm-hmm. like, all this happened. I have this building. I have this. Can I be your affiliation? He's like, yeah! He like screamed like so crazy.
Yes, yes,
he
yes.
just like, I never
so
seen.
So is he going to come down some? And he's going to go come there some?
No,
and...
I'm going there every week.
Okay, know? Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but he will come. He can't be here tomorrow because he has a seminar already.
Yeah.
He's getting ready for the awards and soon in Vegas. So he's having seminar for camps for doing this,
gotcha.
Which I was going to do before all that, but now I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so next year. But anyway, he's going to be coming here for the grand opening. He's going to do a seminar. Jiu-Jitsu and Jiu-Jitsu people will come. So
cool.
It's just like, man, you know, I just wanted to share that because this is like, dude, you know, you can't make this up. You know,
no.
It's just like something that, you know, like, oh, man, you know.
It takes the master's hand to put this stuff together.
Yeah, yeah, man. And I ask my daughter, like, what in the world did you draw here? She's like. Well, Daddy, this is just a bush, two bushes. And I saw the innocent look. I was like, Lord, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know.
Yeah.
And then everything just like, boom, you know. And then just to finish it up, like, he's like, and then 5 minutes there and then 5 minutes here. It's like, double five, double grace. It's like, wow. I thought I was going to get crazy. I was like, am I getting crazy? Am I seeing stuff here?
Right, or, yeah.
Because it was too many. I was like, baby, did you see all that? She's like, yeah, baby, I think you're right. It's just too many details.
Mm-hmm.
I was not even going to pay attention to all those details. And he was just boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. So with all that being said, we are Jiu-Jitsu Double Five affiliation and Professor Formiga is coming, and I'm coming there training. And, you know, if there's a place for you to go and have a good train, have a good pojada, it's there, man. Like I said the other time, it's around 30 to 40 black belts on the mat. you know, on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and now camps and world champions come and teach class and teach seminars. And it's just like, it's just amazing place. Plus the vibe, the energy, like people are humble. People are, you come into a gym and then you don't feel like, oh, everybody wants to destroy me here.
Yeah, like everybody wants to rip you to bits.
Yeah, well, this is going to happen, right? Yeah, once you go to Pohada. Absolutely. But like you see that's different because we kill each other, but we don't hurt each other.
Right.
It's different. Yeah. We go to a jiu-jitsu high level, train good Pohada, but you don't feel that. Because you can feel it when someone is mean to you training.
Yeah.
You know, or you can see like, oh, this is a high level jiu-jitsu and that's a lot of pressure. It's good. You can feel, but everything comes from him, from the black belt, the energy. Like when you walk in, the students welcoming you and they look in your eyes, they shake your hands. It's just what
sets
he,
the tone.
Yes. So it's just like, you know, and plus the jiu-jitsu, Jesus and jiu-jitsu people are their students. And you know, they do seminars for free for jiu-jitsu, Jesus and jiu-jitsu to help them. And it's just like, man, I found my place. I found my, you know. Mm-hmm. And
but remember. No, you didn't. Huh? You didn't find your place. Mm-hmm. God put you there.
You see, that's it. I didn't. You remember what I said about my wife? She's like, left to you. Go back to train. You're going to have to go find a place for you to train. Like, I was not looking for this. Mm-hmm. So she was like, go. I'll support you. Go. It'd be 5 hours driving a week to go train one time a week. I was like, oh man, okay. You know, and then here we go.
Here you are.
All this happened and you know, and I've known this guy. I didn't know him, but I you know he's famous, you know. Mm-hmm. I've heard about him. He has some big black belts world champions. But you know, since I was moving here like 5 years ago, it's like, hey, you know, because I knew João Rocha, one of his black belts, Flamingo's black belts. And he was, you know, top of the world back then, like 5 years ago. He's like, oh, where's he? This guy trains. Oh, he trains at Double Five. I was like, Double Five? Oh, cool. Baby, when you get there, let me go see this Double Five. Mm-hmm. But we drove 3 days, 3 nights. When we got to Dallas, I was tired. Exhausted.
Yeah.
But I thought, going. Like, man, this was the first team that I thought in my mind to go see it. But then I was super tired after 3 days driving, moving with everybody. But I knew it, but I never went there.
Yeah.
But I knew it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, God is just like.
No, you didn't know it. God told you.
God told you. Yeah. Yeah, I like this guy, man.
He's you keep
like,
saddling up your own donkey, but you're the donkey.
Here we go, man. That's it. I mean, what else can I say? You know,
yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm just a donkey.
That's right.
Here we go.
Yeah. Well, so obviously y'all are having your soft opening this week.
It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay. 5 to
so
8, yes.
You're going to start doing
regular
school.
Yeah, regular schedule is Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, so regular schedule. We have, I can say it here, we have Monday and Wednesday, 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. for men's. And this is a Vale Tudo. Have you heard about this word? It's back in the day when the Gracies started the whole thing, it would have called Vale Tudo, right? So we're going to do jiu-jitsu for self-defense. Like American way, combative jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, we're going to have a class that's going to, the focus is self-defense. You know, scenario situations. You know, you're going to fight. It's easy to do armbar in jiu-jitsu sport because you're not going to get punched in the face.
Right.
But like Mike Tyson says, everything is beautiful until
you get hit in the face.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to work towards that, you know, because we have old men that they don't want to compete. Not even old, but there's 40 years old men that they don't want to compete. They want to know jiu-jitsu to defend their families,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
To defend themselves. Mm-hmm. So their goal is not competition. So we have in this class to you know, hey, we're here for you that wants to learn self-defense. We're gonna call it Vale Tudo on our schedule, but it is what? It's jiu-jitsu, combative jiu-jitsu. You know, we're gonna show you how to strike, how to knee, how to elbow, how to defend, how to escape, you know. And we're gonna roll, we're gonna have pohada, but we're not gonna strike during the pohada because, you know, but we're gonna practice punching, kneeing, elbow, all that good stuff that's gonna help you if
y'all
you need to.
Y'all got heavy bags? Y'all gonna have
we
bags?
Don't have, we're gonna hold hold for now.
Okay.
Because we don't have a place to put the bags yet, you know, but soon, you know, it's on the project. Mm-hmm. But we're going to hold pads and going to have that too for now. But yeah, it's those classes will be Monday, Wednesday, 5 a.m. And we have 10 a.m. for homeschool.
Man, you might have me on that 5 a.m. class.
Yeah, I might have you guys in there because it's just, you know.
Bro, I need to do something. Real talk.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just like, guys, it's for people that, for men who wants to, you know, trying to do something that they never did before. Because yeah. I've met people that are like, hey, man, I always want to do jujitsu, but this guy even told me he went to a couple gyms, but he was not welcome and nice enough to stay try a class.
So that's something that I'll point out in the culture of jujitsu. It can get real cliquish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and people like only vibe with their people and there's nothing wrong with that per se. You know, but whenever you're starting to have more people that get an interest into it, and you know, I want a piece of that. I want something, because when especially with men, whenever men see that sense of camaraderie, see that friendship, that relationship that's built, usually if we don't have that, we want it.
Yeah.
And if we want it and we try to go for it, and then everyone's like, you know, this is just for like my people or whatever, then it can get very discouraging. And then that's how you end up getting church hurt. It's how you get jujitsu hurt.
Same concept.
So that's I know that your gym is going to be very welcoming, and you're going to set the tone for everything. So
It's going to be there, man, for people that wants to try it again or wants to have a different experience.
Yeah,
you know, because that's what we're going to do. You
know, it's so just
5 a.m. is Monday, Wednesday, and 10 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday for kids homeschool. And we have 11 a.m. for adults Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which Friday is going to be no gi, the valetudo class, combative jiu-jitsu. And we have classes 4 to 5, 5 to 6 for kids, and then 6 to 7 for adults. We're going to have gi classes for adults and no gi again, valetudo for adults at even too. So we'll be early in the morning, middle of the day, and the evening.
You're going to have a full schedule.
Full schedule. And Saturdays we're going to have class too. Plus Saturday we got something cool, guys. We have the men's prayer. You know, so we're going to have men's prayer. We're going to start maybe once a week or maybe twice, depending on the response. But the reason for that is just because, you know, I believe the logo is not only for my family. It's for every family that's coming
whole structure.
In. Yes. So what is the job of the rock? The job of the rock, the man is the rock of your house.
To be the foundation.
The foundation. Like, how are you going to be the foundation if you're not praying, if you're not spending time with God, if you're not being fed? How are you going to feed your kids?
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to talk about all those stuff and pray and rise and pray, because, you know, if we're there first and then our kids come, we prepare the way, you know. So this is one of the most excited things that I'm excited about, it to start praying with, you know, with men's, and I'm excited, man, you know. And
y'all don't have showers, do you?
No. Well, not right now. You know,
it's I'm already thinking. I'm like, well, if I go on there on Monday morning at 5, I have to finish the class, drive home, take a shower. Anyway, this is awesome. This is super awesome.
Very excited.
So are y'all going to be, you know, I know Gracie Baja, it's like you have to have a Gracie Baja gi or you can't train or whatever. Y'all have a double five gi, you got to have a special gi.
Yeah, we have our own gi. We were like running for things, you know, but we're going to have our own gi. Because, I mean, one of the things I learned about them, It looks good. It looks organized, right?
Right.
So I've been in places that there's people, it's just like all kind of geese, or their geese are dirty or stinky or nasty. Or one of the cool things I learned about is the rash guard. It's not, you're not dripping on people's face. And but we're gonna have our own gee. You're gonna have our own uniforms. There's a whole line of uniforms in there, uniform guidelines. But we're like, hey, you can never train with your own gi from, you know, because nowadays these, they're super cool geese, you know? And then some of the students are like, hey, can I have this gi here and put a patches? Yeah, you can have a gi. We have patches too. You can.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You know,
one of the things I looked at is like with Sebastian, you know, we wanted to get him a couple more because it's kind of a pain in the butt to wash it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then, like, we start looking, and, like, all the Gracie Baja stuff's, like, $100, $120. Like, he's like a little kid.
Yeah.
But then you go look online, there's $50, $80, $30, you know? And maybe they're garbage. I don't know. We didn't buy them because we knew we couldn't use it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's this, you know. There's the variation of stuff. There's so much cool. Jiu-Jitsu exploded, right? There's a whole lines of clothes or rash guards. There's rash guards like for a kid. And one of my students, he bought a black level, whatever brand for his kid, a short and a rash guard. It was $110. And the kid is like 7 years old. Like he bought one short and one rash guard, $110.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, it's all kind of prices. So, we might work with two different brands, you know, until we find our, like, hey, this is our brand. Right now, we're going to work with Fuji and Gameness and maybe Kings, you know.
Okay.
They're good, you know, but, again, there's cheaper stuff, yeah. We're going to have our patches and get the chip in and put the patch in. So, you know, again, we don't want to force people to wear our stuff. We want people to be proud to use that and know, hey, this is what we stand for. So we don't have to ask, you know, people are like, hey, I want to do this. I want to represent this. I want to represent the family. So
no, you're not going to have any trouble gaining that kind of momentum, dude. Everybody wants to be.
Everybody's hungry for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the most exciting thing is just like, you know, see the way everything happened, man, is just crazy. Like, you know, I'm talking about this conversation was the beginning of June and we were like, August 2nd, 3rd.
Yeah. Like, second day in August.
And then, you know, I've everything is ready. Like, I don't even know how, you know.
Because you didn't do it.
Because I didn't do it.
That's
because,
the point.
Because it's the donkey, you know. The donkey don't do anything. Yeah. Just obey,
that's
you know.
Right. He just shows up.
So it's like, God is good, man. It's just like, you know. It's just, I had to take that out of my chest. Like, man, I gotta, you know.
Sebastian's going to freak out.
He will. He will, because I was just telling you right there, like, so many kids, they laugh for vacation, but none of them, like, I mean, they love, you know, but Sebastian had the attitude of coming and, like, looking at my eyes, hey, professor, I'm going to leave for vacation. I'm going to miss you, and I hope to see you soon. I was like, man, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, like, to see the way he has the respect and, you know, the attitude of coming, and you guys came over there just for him to say goodbye. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is, you know,
yeah.
This is show how important, you know, what you're doing in there. There is really touching lives, you know.
Well, that's the significance of what God's doing through you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to just be like, you know, Sebastian's awesome and everything. He's very respectful, everything. But also, you have poured into his life. You have poured into a lot of people's lives. And that's the relationship that is developed because of the work, that the willingness, the obedience that you're willing to do.
You're like a fountain, not a container.
Exactly.
So you're pouring out into these kids and it's overflowing out of them into every aspect of their life and everybody they touch, but you're not running dry because you're tapped in
to the kingdom,
tapped into the kingdom mindset. You know, you're connected with God. You're obedient to God. So he gives you what to pour. You know?
Bro, let me tell you, I'm crying right now just because, and I haven't even seen your gym.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I haven't even been there. I haven't experienced your lessons or anything like
that.
You
guys are more than welcome to come because we're gonna have a worship night tonight, a dedication to the Lord before we open
tonight?
The doors. Yeah, we're just gonna go there and pray over their place and
absolutely,
and just no, it's just gonna this is what it is. We can't open without dedicate this to the Lord and lift it up that to him, because without him we couldn't be here. So
yeah.
Man, what a story.
What an awesome story.
I'm looking forward to the next update. You know, we'll have to have you back on again.
Yeah. Man, I got 7 more gyms on the way up or something like that.
I've got a question for you.
Yes,
did you get signed up for Freedom Weekend?
I have not, it's closed.
It's closed.
Oh yeah, yeah. It closed. Like okay. The Father's Day, they opened it.
Okay.
And it was closed within a week.
Yeah,
oh, man. But I'll say this: I know some people.
But I will also say I've signed someone up who's pretty flaky. So
yeah. So I would say like we could text Travis.
Okay.
And be like, hey man,
hey,
Rock, you need to go.
Yeah, I want to.
You gotta
come. I want to go.
It's 24 hours. I say I've got a flaky guy. The reason we get a list together of people in the event that someone isn't able to make it.
Okay.
Cool. It may be like that Friday night.
Just like today. You
exactly.
Know,
hey, can you be here? And we're like, hey, dude, we got the spot for you and everything. Clear out 24 hours. Let your wife know, hey, I'm going to this.
But we get it. You're getting a gym off the ground too. Yeah. You know, if you want to do it in the spring, we'll have one in the spring. Hey. Right? It's in April when is it? April.
First week in April, your anniversary.
Yeah, it's my anniversary weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it needs to be April, it could be April. I'm signed up to be on the team, but I'm also working Monday through Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'll cross that bridge when I get there with work. And the reality is going to be is like either it'll make sense and they'll be okay with it.
Or they won't.
Or like it's more likely going to be that I can't do it. It won't make sense for me to not be there on a Saturday.
Right.
You know? But that's months away right now.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Just worrying about August right now.
Okay.
Whatever God says, I'm gonna take Rock's lead on that. Yep. If God says do this, and let him be mad.
Hey, I just maybe I didn't have to say, but I have a feeling that I have to share this one more thing.
Oh
yeah.
So back in Thanksgiving of last year, my brother-in-law came over here. And I took some days off from the gym just to spend time with him and his family. But then I was like, you know, we were training CrossFit right next door. I was like, hey, you want to see the gym? He's like, sure. And then we went over there. And then, you know, as soon as we step in, man, it was kind of, you know, I didn't know that was going to happen. So we step in and there was the kids class on Saturday. And then all the kids left the mat and running to give me a hug. So I was like, oh, man. And then he was teaching over there as I felt. I didn't want to interrupt your class, but they came, hugged me. And then I talked to the parents and, you know, and then, okay, cool. We out of there and we back home. He's like, hey, dude, why you don't have your own gym? I was like.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's like, well, man, I don't have the money. No, I'm just waiting. Usually when people hear that, they're just like, oh, okay, why are you waiting? So, hey, man, I'm just waiting. You know, I don't have the money to build my own gym. And he's like, how much money do you need? I was like, I don't know. He's like, dude, I can't. I want to move out of California. And I have $300,000 sitting in the bank that I want to invest in something and I want to stop working. Can you open the gym with $300,000? Like,
boy, could I?
I was like, yeah. Then, you know, my heart as a human, like, just exploded in joy, right? It's like, man, that's cool. He's like, let's do it. I'll move here. I don't want to just be a silent partner. I just want money coming in.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. But yeah, let me go pray. So then, what do you mean go pray? I was like, yeah, let me go pray, man. And I'll get back to you. So then... Then Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then comes January. It's like I was supposed to give him my answer quick, right? Because like, and when without that being said, I was like, Lord, please talk to me. It's like, Lord, this is it. This is it. You know, this is my chance. You know, this is it, Lord. This is it. Man, I would start getting frustrated, you know, and I started, you know, getting like, Lord, please talk to me. And he was just quiet. Quiet. And then there's this one day that I was like really frustrated. Like, please talk to me. We have the money. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said to me, be still.
Yep.
I don't need your help.
Yep. And to like capitalize on that, talking about donkey and stuff like that. The guy that's saddling the horse doesn't tell the horse why he's cinching the saddle this way.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say like why I'm putting my rope up here. He didn't say where I'm putting my breast collar. He just does it. And we're supposed to just trust that.
Mm-hmm. So, with that being said,
yeah,
the Lord said, be still. I don't need your help. No.
Mm-hmm.
I was mad. I was sad. Really sad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I told my wife, I was like, hey, God said no. And then I was like, oh, man. So then January this year, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever, I told him, hey, man, I got to tell you something. You know, I prayed and I appreciate you, you know, offering that, but God said no.
That's hard.
He said, what? I was like, what do you mean? I was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I don't mean to, you know, offend you or anything. It's just God said no. God said no. I can't do it.
What do you say
so,
to that?
So are you going to be working for somebody for the rest of your life? Somebody that's taking advantage of you or something? Working for Jesus. And that's literally what I said. I was like, yeah. Hey, I'm just following orders.
Yeah.
So God said no. And by the way, he's not the first. He might be the last one. But I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 offers
mm-hmm.
to that last one. They all would have taken me out of Tyler. Some people want to buy Tyler and have me as their professor. Mm-hmm. Some people would have given me a partnership. They want to become my owners. They want to become my partners. A lot of people, man. You know, I had students come, hey, let's do this. We can buy. I have the money. I buy, and then you're the professor, and then we're going to be happy, you know? So then all the time, I said, I'll go pray, and God said no. And then this last time, the Lord was like, he wasn't playing. He's like, I don't need your help. Be still. I'm like, okay. And then I drop it. It's like, okay, I don't do nothing.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, yes, sir. Then when this guy came and said, oh, that, Mr. Skip, I was like, okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
So there's a word for somebody that's listening to this. Like when you don't understand and you still obey what the Lord's telling you, you got to be in the hand of the God.
Mm-hmm.
He's in control. But sometimes it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Why am I saying no to my brother-in-law?
You're right.
Why?
That's your family.
It's my right? family.
Yeah.
That's what I exactly. You were
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Yeah. I was there.
Like, it's my family. Like, he's said
who that better to have invest than my
he's,
family?
He's like, you know? Oh, I'm a silent part. I don't know nothing on jiu-jitsu. Yeah. I don't want to know. I just want to move out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, why not, Lord?
Yeah.
But again, after 8, 9 times, I was used to the no already. But yeah. People are not.
Yeah.
They get like, I lost some friendships when I told them no. Because mm-hmm. they, oh, you have to be my professor. I have the money. Let's buy a gym. Let's build a gym. If you're not my professor, it's not going to work. I was like, hey, man, God told me no. Oh, you know, so.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So, but again, it's just being that, learning that obedience. And it's not easy. It's not.
It's a lesson.
It's a lesson.
Yeah.
And yeah. then one after another, I was like, okay, Lord, all right. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to what you said. And it's just like. Like, man, then a person who never knew me comes and gives me a key and said he did not ask me if I wanted.
Yeah.
Never. Until now, do you want that, Rock? He never asked. Mm. He gave me the key.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I want to be your partner. No. He didn't say, I want to be your, I need money back.
Yeah.
No. He did not know me.
Mm.
He gave me the key. By the way, I signed the contract 3 days ago yeah. with everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard it before?
Mm-mm.
The contract, the lease,
mm-hmm.
it was signed 3 days ago.
Yeah.
With everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Just get in it.
Like, the guy trusts me that much that everything was there, the mats, everything, people coming in and out. And I'm like, mm-hmm. when am I going to sign?
Yeah.
3 days ago.
So, yeah.
It's just, you know.
What time is the dedication thing you're doing tonight?
7.
Yeah. 7 p.m.?
Yeah. Okay. 7 p.m. We're just going to go there and dedicate to the Lord. You know, it's just what we need to do, man. You know, because it's going to be, again, okay, it's a business, you know. But It's not.
Yeah.
No, it's a place of refugee. It's a place of rescue, restore, redeem.
Yeah.
You know, this is what it is. You know,
a place of discipleship.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah. This is what it is. That's what the Lord has been telling me since, you know, back in California, you know. This is what's supposed to be, you know, because jiu-jitsu can be really dirty, man. There's a lot of ego, a lot of drama, pride, you know, selfishness, and it's a lot of bad things, you know. I tell you what, I can tell you this, maybe jiu-jitsu is even worse than money. Why? Because if you got really good in jiu-jitsu and you're poor, you're going to start thinking that you're better than everybody else. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's like, I can beat anybody in the world.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's true, but...
You know, but then you see how Jacob wrestled with God, right?
Do you see it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, he. I'm sure Jacob could have wrestled anybody, but he lost to God.
That's what I'm saying. And then, there's a say. I don't even know if this exists before, but I like to say that it doesn't matter how much your jiu-jitsu is good. Mm-hmm. You know, what it really matters is how good jiu-jitsu is for you. Mm-hmm. How good you're becoming because of that. Because a lot of people get jiu-jitsu and put jiu-jitsu on a pedestal and say, oh, jiu-jitsu saved my life. Jiu-jitsu did this for me. Jiu-jitsu put me out of depression, put me out of drugs. No, it's not true.
Yeah.
It was a tool that God used to save you. And
point him to him.
Yes. So people have to see the truth. You know, jiu-jitsu has an amazing power of empower people. Confidence, you know, restore life is, but it's a tool. It's just a tool that God uses to transform people's life. It has a power. Yeah, it does, you know, but you can't see a jiu-jitsu itself separate from God. So that's why I'm in this to be, you know, to put things together, you know, to see people coming from dark places to meet God. And the tool is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So,
yeah. Right on. Well, Rock, thanks so much for coming back on.
Yeah.
What a wild story. I love hearing how you let God direct you, you know, and you follow. And Pat and I are super glad to know you.
Yeah.
And we're excited about the soft open and then the real deal. And
yes, sir.
My house here is excited for sure.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, we'll be there. So.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's another episode of Two Dudes, One God Pod. We'll see y'all next week.
I'm just a donkey.